You know, often as Christians, we think the goal is what we don't do. People approach their Christian walk about, I don't do that, I don't do that. But the real message of the gospel is what we do do, and that it's an active moving forth, called to action life. There's no place that you can find where he says, I want to get you saved to sit in a pew. He calls us to go. Let's bring up Matthew 28. This is the theme that we're talking about, the Great Commission. We've been talking about the Great Commandment. And Jesus came up to them saying, all authority, not most, over every nation, every kindred, every tribe, whether they recognize his authority or rebel to his authority is different, but all authority has been given to me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in heaven. Whatever's going on in heaven now, he's the King of Kings in heaven. Whatever's going on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go. Let's see, who's really smart here this morning? Who could I pick on? Dave, I've been picking on him anyway. Dave, what does go mean? Thank you. All right. We got go. That wasn't too difficult. Therefore, but why is the therefore, therefore? The therefore is because of all the stuff in the other parts of Matthew. I've laid my life down to you. I've died on the cross. I've forgiven you of sins. And he says, so now after 40 days, he's spoken to them in the kingdom, and he says, go. Go. And do what? Make disciples. Not convert them. So he's telling these people gathered for them to make disciples, which means they're going to co-labor with him. This is the Great Commission. Of all nations, the Greek is ethnos, all ethnicities, whatever nationality, whatever mixture of people that we or you are, the Great Commission's for you. And then he says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I've said it thousands of times from this pulpit, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is with us always in every valley, every mountaintop, every season, every crisis, every victory, everything. He's with us always. We don't always feel it. We sometimes question it because the circumstances are so bad or we struggle, but he's always, always, always with you. What a friend I have in Jesus, always. I want to zero in on one part of this. It's called the teaching. And I want to feed off of the commandment. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So he commands us to love. So if we're to teach, to observe all that I've commanded you, then we have to teach people to love. I asked Peter a little while ago, Peter, would you feel comfortable with me teaching a course on engineering? Appreciate your honesty. I'll talk to you later. Adam Jones isn't in here. How many of you would like to take surfing lessons from me? Why not? I read a book on surfing, and I should be able to do it. And then you get lessons from me. Eric and Jared, are they here? Jared's out cleaning up. They're both like computer whizzes. They do programming. They're the kind of people you ask them what they do and they just say technologies, whatever that is, a code word for something. But how many would like me to be your teacher for computer programming? Come on. Nobody? Gosh, I can't teach surfing. I can't teach engineering. Okay, how many would you like me to teach you about gourmet cooking. I mean, I'm very good. I've got a quesadilla, special recipe for that. You nuke it 30 seconds. See, nobody wants me to be your teacher for gourmet. Dudley, how many would like Dudley to teach some people? Know? Yeah. See, because she is that. She is that kind of cook, chef. She loves putting things together, and she can. Just, but the thing about it is, Paul Pettit's in the church. I wonder if he'd feel comfortable with me teaching a course on flying planes. You want to? I'll be your trainer. I've never flown a plane, but I'll teach you how to fly a plane. I've never really sailed much. So here's the point. We're going to teach people about love. Okay, you cannot teach, and I cannot teach about love unless it's in you. And you can teach them through your words. You can tell them what the Bible says, or I'm a Christian, or I go to church, or whatever. But to actually teach, I think it was Francis of Assisi said, when all else fails, use words in sharing the gospel. That there's this great command to love. And so what we are doing by teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, how many of you know that we all agree that just teaching a course on love doesn't make you a loving person? But the most important thing in our life, in terms of our character, is our love. And it is extraordinarily powerful. It is, Jesus uses his last time on earth before the crucifixion to talk about love. He says, we are to love others as Christ loves us. It's a new commandment. We cannot love properly without the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Just trying to love isn't good enough. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Now think about that. I think you'd do it for your kids. Maybe for really good friends. Maybe. All of us. But greater love has no one than lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I suggest to you, what I command you. Most of our problems are due to the leanness of love. It says that under pressure, the love of many will wax cold. It's not an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's a choice. Love never fails. I just got back from Tennessee, and I could spend the whole time talking about some of the content was very interesting of what I heard. But I was leaving the hotel, and I had lined up a cab. I called this guy up. There was 4 cab services, and this one said discount cab. And so I called him, and he said, hello, how are you? I said, yeah, I need to get a cab. He said, why did you pick us? I said, I like the name, discount. And I said, I'll tell you what. And he was just a good old boy. And I said, yeah, I called you because I heard you're going to give me a really good deal. Kind of kidding around. He says, we'll take care of you. So anyway, the driver shows up the next day. And it's about an hour and 15 minutes to the airport. But it's not the guy I talked to on the phone. It's a guy named Jess McFarland. If you didn't know better, when you got in that cab, we get in, the first thing he says to me, he says, are you in a hurry? I'm going to the airport. I said, no, I'm okay. He said, good, I want to take the back way. I thought you might enjoy just seeing some of the Smokies. I said, sounds great. So we start talking, and he was into conspiracy theories and all this stuff, and he had a real, real strong accent. So if I mimic it, I'm not tearing anybody apart. But he was as, whatever you think a redneck sounds like, he was it. He was the But he's about my age, maybe a year or two younger, because we started comparing notes about different things, and I was asking him, and so it just ends up into this conversation, and he says, well, and he had been dropping F-bombs and all kinds of language, and while we're talking, and so he says to me, and he's been reading the Bible in the morning, and you know, I look at Genesis, he said, do you read the Bible? And I said, yeah. He said, well, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. He said, well, maybe we can talk about this then, because in the Bible, and he went through this whole thing, and I said, yeah, well, that's one perspective, and then we switched back to what's going on with fracking and the mines and all this other stuff. We went back and forth. Then about 30 minutes into it, he says, what do you do anyway? And I said, I'm a pastor. So then I'll never forget it. I looked in the rearview mirror, and his eyes looked at me like that. He didn't say this, but he said, well, I'll be dogged. He said, what do you think you're doing in my cab today? What do you think this is about? I said, I don't know, let's find out. I'm just glad to be here and heading to the airport. He starts talking, and we talk more. He had a lot of bitterness and anger as he's talking, and I just listened. So we get near the airport. Turns out he's not a dummy. If you didn't know him, this is one of our, you've heard it a million times, don't ever judge a book by its cover. It's so tempting to just, you know, this guy was brilliant. He started explaining the water tables to me and the limestone and the way the aquifers work, and he knew all about the history of the Smoky Mountains. He knew everybody and anybody. He knew all the politicians. He'd worked for the federal government, had a responsible job, but if you didn't know better, you'd think he went to the 10th grade and just a good old boy. And somehow, all that started coming out. And then as we're getting there, I started talking. I was listening and everything. I said some things to him, and I said, you know, the last thing he says to me, he says, you know, I've been depressed for 4 days. Really depressed. What do you think of that? And I said, wow. So, I mean, we're having church now. We've broken down all the barriers. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, it's a tough place to be. I said, you know, Jess, you know in the Bible where you read, forgive us our debts just as we forgive others? I said, you know, I'm not bragging or anything. I said, but when I go to bed at night, there's not one person on this planet that I hate or hold resentment over. It really helps me sleep. And I said, the key is for if you can let go of the anger and the bitterness and the resentment, I'm telling you, what's going to block you doing this, I said, is your sense of justice. Because you have been mishandled, and you deserve to. When as long as you keep unforgiveness, you're in control, and you work it. But if you let go, you're going to be free. So he pulls over and he looks at me and he says, "Man, you are good." It was just like, I'm not bragging. I have to tell you, I'm not bragging. It was the Holy Spirit, but it was like that movie. Analyze this. You, my friend, are really good. And he said, no, he said, you listened to everything I said, and then you gave it back to me. He said, I do this for a living. I've done this for a long time. He said, this is the most amazing cab ride. And I said, and he said, I was a good analyst too. So I said, yeah, thanks. You know, we talked. And I went into that cab with no agenda. Like, you know, should I witness? Hey, how are you? I've been at a pastor's conference. Oh, you're a pastor? Yeah, I pastor out in California. Praise God. I didn't do that. I didn't even want it. You just go in the Great Commission's at work in my life. We pull up to this thing. I didn't even ask him. I started praying for him. I said, Lord, I pray that you would really help Jess be released from the... And we went through this whole thing. And then I gave him a good tip and got on my plane. I'll probably never see the guy again. Go. Make disciples. It comes out of our life of love. Love never fails. Love does not love just to get love back. God's love will change the world. It says he is kind to evil and ungrateful men. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And I wrote in my notes, wow. So I got this shirt on. It's my love shirt. But you put on love. Put on love. Think about love for your wife, your husband, your sisters, your not just those people, but people that God brings in a very unusual way. Put on love. I can only tell you, I didn't get in the cab and feel love for this guy. I just got in and started talking, and the next thing you know, it was one of those divine things that happens from time to time in your life and my life. I believe it had eternal consequences. I don't believe that guy's darkened the door of a church in 25 years. I believe he's told me about getting socialized. So he's going down to the bar, he's got his best friend, and they just get hammered every night drinking beer and listening to Waylon Jennings. And he says, you know, I need to get socialized again. I never corrected him once, never said, I said, yeah, you do. And it just led to this amazing thing. And I sometimes feel like if we can unwrap our religious side and really see them where they are and really understand that that was you and that you have a place to love and bless these people. So put on love in Colossians 3:14, which is the perfect bond of unity. That's what you need to do. Next time you're in a fight, next time you feel really critical, check your love meter. See where it is. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, the whole foundation of your faith is love. If it's not love, what is it? Owe nothing to anybody except to love one another. There's nothing we do that profits us anything without love. Love is patient, kind. It's courteous. It rejoices with truth, bears and believes and hopes all things. It's not provoked, doesn't take into account wrong suffered. We all get injured, but what love does is it keeps you from keeping score. We keep score because of the leanness of our love. And the only way to get that love is from Christ himself. Love is a permanent, perpetual grace. Faith and hope are going to be done away with. But love never fails. So, let's stand. I hear that Carissa being digested. Let's remember, let's do the one we started out with, love. Can you do that again? Yeah. Let's do this banner over us as love. Now, this love that I'm talking about is extraordinarily masculine and extraordinarily feminine. It's extraordinary in and of God himself is love. And if you think back, you're to teach people about love. How many feel qualified to teach someone how to love? It's humbling, isn't it? But that's what we're called to do because it's his commandment. And so that's why the Holy Spirit's working in you. Get where you get hard, then you forgive. Where you soften up. You say, okay, bad attitude. One of my favorite things to do is say, Lord, how do you feel about my attitude? How many of you think I always get raving praise back from the Lord? Almost when I ask the question, I already know I'm in trouble. It's personal. It's real. We're going to stay on this theme. Some of the other men will be speaking as we go in. But please understand, the Great Commission is not about going to the Philippines. It means going to Denny's. It means that you're commissioned and that you're operating in God. It doesn't mean we're trying to get them into our church. We're trying to get them to know the God who made them and how much He loves them, and that their life can be united with Him in faith, hope, and love. So we sing this. A lot of times kids sing this song. Be a little kid for me today, will you? Your banner over me is love. I can't do all the motions, but who knows the motions really well? Anybody? Nobody? Oh, Aaron? Oh, Mike. Yeah, Mike. Come on.